Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as always, it's so nice to see so many gods and goddesses. It's very rare to have so many gods and goddesses in one room. Although everyone is a god and goddess, very few people know that. And you must start to realize that for yourselves. And this is a wonderful time of year, by the way. We're going to start the Thanksgiving season, which is a wonderful time just for friends and family. And we're going to go right into the holiday season. And during the holiday season, I am absolutely sure of the fact that this is a time of year that angels are bending near the earth. There's a lot of energy coming into the world during the holiday season. And you can use that energy to your advantage. Many people get depressed and so forth during the holidays. This is not a time of year to get depressed. This is a time of year to open your heart, to open your consciousness and your mind to what is going on. You do not have to believe in Christianity in order to feel the energy that's coming into the world. This is the time for goodwill to everybody. And people do that, and the energy changes during the holidays. Mm-hmm. Take advantage of that energy. Let it come into you. Let it resonate inside of you. And use that as a period to change what you want to change about yourself, about the world, you see. Learn to see that and do that for yourself. That is the only way it is ever going to happen. The change that you are looking for in the world must first start with you. You must change your way of thinking. So this is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity, these holiday seasons, to really get that feeling that you're not alone, that there is something bigger and greater that you're connected to, and that you're connected to all life everywhere. And that is what this season is about. If you're a Christian, of course, they tell you it's because Jesus was born on Christmas, December the 25th. Jesus was born in March, but that's beside the point. The church had to change that around a little bit. So you don't have to believe any of that, you see. You don't even have to be religious. All you have to be is open. Open to a vibration that is going to start coming. And you are part of that vibration. So use that vibration to heal yourself. Use that. So, during this month, we were talking about creating a space, and we were creating mental space, and we were creating spiritual space, and physical space. So, we should know how to do that. Now, I want to bring up some of the things that, see if you remember. What are the three things this month that you should remember?
You should
remember. We talked all month about three things.
Love everybody. Forgive. Or is that, I get this in church. We have three things.
Right, I know you have too many. How about ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be open. This is the time of year to start knocking, people. And open that door. Let that come in to you. So those were the things. Now, the other thing during the month that we were skipping over, which we can never really skip over, I forget to do it, and that is our matter dance. And why we do the matter dance is to prove that we are worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. So we're going to get up right now, do the matter dance, and we're going to add that last part to it, remember? Okay. Very easy. I matter. I really, really matter. I matter. I really, really matter. And absolutely nothing is wrong with me.
Absolutely.
Okay. If you learn nothing else from me, learn that, please. Learn that, that you truly are worthy and deserving, that you're totally lovable. You are the beloved in whom this thing we call God is well pleased. I was at the bank today. I wasn't in the bank. I was in the bank parking lot. And a man walked by with a shirt on, a t-shirt, or a sweatshirt. And the sweatshirt said, only God can judge me. Only God can judge me. I am here to tell you that God never judges. God does not judge. Remember, God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. So here we have these t-shirts out there. We have this mentality out there that they still think that this thing that we call God is looking down from this place called heaven and is always judging and saying, that's not right. You should have done this differently. You should have. I'm here to tell you there's absolutely nothing wrong with you, that you truly are the beloved. And you have to remember that. God does not judge you. Not one iota.
Judge what?
Judge what?
Yeah, you judge it. What type of things are being judged or not judged?
You're not judged at all. There's no judgment from the mind of God. God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. Your mind judges you. God's mind does not judge. God's mind is not capable of making any judgments whatsoever. God's mind is only capable of loving, totally loving. That's all God does. God loves.
Do you think God is an energy being?
Well, absolutely.
Do you think he's actually...
Well, we call it it.
Well,
no. We call it it because we don't know what God is. But God is... intelligence, God is wisdom, God is energy, God is life itself. Human beings wanted to make God anthropomorphic, meaning that God has arms and legs and looks like a human being. We are not talking that type of God at all. We are talking an energy that permeates throughout the entire universe, and the life of God is in everything. Everything. You cannot escape this. In unity, they say there's not a spot where God is not. And that's what you have to remember. There's not a spot where God is not. Does that help you?
But thinking of it as an energy force, okay, which makes more sense considering the lifespan, okay? People like matter wouldn't exist that long.
Well, what you are doing, you are saying that there is a lifespan because we see that all the time. There is no such thing as a lifespan. Life goes on forever. The opposite of life is not death. There is no opposite to life whatsoever. Your body may die. That may go. Your consciousness, what you are, continues throughout eternity. You always were and you always will be.
Where do you think that? Why do you think we change to energy, right? There's energy in the lifespan.
You can neither create nor destroy energy. Energy just is.
No, that's not true.
That is true. Jesus Christ.
Where's the energy?
Go ahead, answer.
Are we talking about Christian person now? Are we talking about Christianity?
No, we're not talking about. This is not a Christian church. This is not a Christian teaching. This is not a Christian philosophy. This is a metaphysical teaching. And the metaphysical teaching, we're teaching you that there is a wisdom, there's an intelligence, there is a life force throughout the entire universe, and you are one with that. You and the thing itself are the same thing. That means that you are God, you are goddesses, you're one in the same. You cannot do that. You cannot separate things. We're talking about unity.
Unity of
all life. Unity that we're all one.
So why are whole sapiens always killing each other?
Because they're conditioned. We're all puppets of our conditioning. We're trying to raise ourselves above that state.
What was the conditioning and why would it exist?
Why does it exist? Well, it exists because people believe in that myth that we were thrown out of the Garden of Eden because we tasted of the fruit of good and evil. And there is no such thing. That's a Babylonian myth, by the way. It has nothing to do with Christianity. It has nothing to do with that. But anyway, back to the point is, this is not a Christian church. This is not a Christian teaching. I am not a Christian. I am a metaphysician. I absolutely believe that there is a supreme power that I am one with. And that power comes through me all the time. That power is what causes me to raise my hand.
Is that power the power?
No, there will be a question and answer period after the talk. All right. Thank you.
Okay. I'm open for questions right now.
I didn't understand what he said. What did you say?
He said there will be questions and answers later.
Oh, okay.
So I'm open now for any questions.
Well, that threw me off.
Well.
all right. Then what do you think causes the intelligence of the Homo sapiens?
Yes.
How does that work?
Well, that's because we allow our ego.
Yes.
And we have to be able to control our ego. We have to be able to realize that we are spirit. And right now, everyone's convinced that they're human. You see, and that's just a little phase that has nothing to do with anything.
So when a person's physical body dies, you think
yes.
The energy force is still
here? Oh, absolutely.
Okay, and what does that energy force do?
Well, it continues. Your consciousness continues throughout eternity, and you can make a choice to come back here or go someplace else. You can do anything you want.
And in the point of time overall, just to find out what does it do?
I don't know. I repeat the question.
Okay. We drive cars,
yes.
We work places.
Yes.
Some people are religious and they try to promote something.
Right.
So they're doing something. But what do we do if we don't have that? What you're saying is doesn't sound like we actually exist. We're already there. What are we doing?
Well, what do you mean, what are you doing? Because you can't see energy. You can't see that. You can just see the effects of something. Once you relieve this.
That's energy.
But it's a side effect of energy. That's all that is.
But if you put your hand in lightning, you will be electrocuted.
Well, yes, you would be electrocuted. There's some type of an energy, but that's not the energy that we're talking about. The thing, the confusing part is you are talking. Not only physics, you're completely conditioned. Yes, you're conditioned by the world itself and by your education and by whatever else you want to do, and you're here to disprove everything. I'm not here to disprove it. You can disprove this teaching up one side and down the other. I don't care to do that. I care to prove this teaching. I care to be able to manifest something. I care to be able to bring in the presence of this thing called God. Not all this roundabout thing. And what you're doing, the roundabout things that you're doing that because it's feeding your ego. You're doing eating ego food all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the type of question you're
asking. Does that sound a little bizarre to you?
Pardon?
Don't ask questions or you'll be.
No, you may ask any question. But you're trying to, the questions that you're asking is to show how smart you are. And I don't care how smart you are.
No. If you're trying to, you're trying all kinds of modalities to try to heal someone physically.
Mm-hmm.
Plus love and everything else. And that person or persons just taking some time. What does one do?
One just keeps loving. One just keeps treating. The thing is, we always think that we can change somebody, we can do this, and this teaching tells you that. Except the fact is, if that person is not open and willing to receive, there's nothing you can do about that. They have to open themselves to it.
Can you talk to their spirit or so forth and bypass that ego mind or whatever might be the block?
You can, but they have to remove that ego themselves. They have to remove whatever blockage is there. You cannot do that. You can just love them.
Doesn't it all boil down to the believer?
Yes.
The believer has to accept it. The believer has to believe.
Right. It's always done unto you as you believe, absolutely.
The believer.
Yes. And that's what we're always trying to do. We're trying to believe more all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember me telling you that God does not ask you to try harder. God asks you to believe more. And most people want to try. Stop trying and start believing.
What if you're trying to change something and, you know, doing this thing to various metaphysical things and it's getting easier and easier to change the way that you're thinking, which is not producing what you desire, but it's taking a while? Is there, I want to say, is an instant or faster way? One is still trying a certain way, and the situation hasn't changed. Is there another way they can look at it, or how, you know?
You can always look at it from all kinds of angles on all different things. When you don't know, say to yourself, "I don't know. But I know that you do," meaning this thing that we call God knows how to do it. You don't know how to do it. So say, I know I don't know how, but I know you do, so you do it for me.
And then get myself out of the way.
When yes.
We're talking my ego self?
Yes.
So it would be better to go into meditation and then ask that as opposed to...
Yes.
I mean, once in a while, I'll garden or walking down the street, I'll ask that.
Yes.
But is it more direct and more intent if I do it in a meditation state other than just...
No.
Oh.
You should say in meditation all the time. That's that whole thing, pray without ceasing. Whether you're gardening, walking on the street, or anything, you must always be praying without ceasing, which means become aware of what you're doing and start to practice the presence of God everywhere and start to see this presence that we call God, or you can call it energy, intelligence, wisdom, whatever you want to call it. You can call it Harry if you wish. It doesn't matter. No, God's not concerned about that.
Well, we have Christmas coming up, and Thanksgiving, you said a little thing about Christmas. What were you going to say about Christmas and angelic help, or you were starting to say something about?
I said that this is the time of the year when I'm absolutely positive that angels are bending near the earth, that energy is coming in to the earth during this period. Because people are thinking differently.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to change their consciousness, mm-hmm. you know. How many times did I tell you we're always in thought atmospheres of different types? And you can tell, regardless if you have a calendar or anything in front of you, you should be able to pick up immediately that it's Sunday.
Why?
Because the whole energy changes on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon?
Is it better on Sunday or
no? Well, they people are. So that changes the whole atmosphere. That changes the thought atmosphere that you're in.
Now, when people think, how much does that change the atmosphere?
That changes everything. Absolutely. We are the ones who have made up this earth by our thinking.
Okay. We have seen it.
Pardon?
Thought our way into a big problem.
We have thought our way in. Now we have to learn to think our way out of it. We're the ones who caused all this. Because we have an ego who thinks they know, that knows everything.
What's wrong with the ego?
There's nothing wrong with an ego, except you may not live by your ego.
True. You may use it to help other people.
Your ego was very good to you. It brought you to where you are today. But now you must take over and say, thank you very much. I'm strong enough now. I'm able to think for myself. I'm no longer a puppet of my conditioning. Yes.
There's a central concept in yoga that God is in everything, and it's the illusion on top of it, as it were, that keeps us from experiencing it. And we have to do that work
yes.
to remove that illusion.
Yes.
But the illusion can be very, very tough.
Well, the illusion is convincing. The whole world is very convincing. You think this whole world that you're looking at is real. It's real because it's very convincing. It's always grabbing for your attention. It wants you to notice. It wants you to do that. You mustn't, you see. Remember, one of the master teachers, Jesus, said, I am in this world, but I am not of this world. You can be in this world. You do not have to be of this world. So that also is called, I think, in what you're yoga and all the Maya, and that's that screen in front of you, and you have to open that screen to be able to see. Most people don't open the screen; they just look at the screen and they say, "Oh, that's life." There's much more. Remember, all things seen come from things that are not seen. There's always something else going on, but we're conditioned to see the screen.
So you see a difference between the physical world and energy, correct? The physical world like this building. Energy can be, in many ways, just thinking is energy. Destroying other people is energy. Being nice to them is energy. It just depends on the type of energy. The question is, why do you have good energy or harmful energy? Energy that helps.
Well, why do we have that? Because people are stupid. You know, electricity can heat your home or it can kill you. It's your choice what it wants to do. It's absolutely your choice. So you have to make those things and you have to see things differently. And why don't you start with the approach is that everything is spiritual. And that this building, yes, looks physical and all, but it came from thought. It had to come from thought first. So all things seen come from things that are not seen. All things are spiritual. Once you realize that everything is spirit, you don't have to break it up into mental and physical and all that stuff. You see the spirit in everything. But the main thing is to start seeing the spirit in yourself.
How do you describe, okay, generally speaking, what is Christianity or any other religion for that matter. It would be, you know, from Europe or from Asia or whatever it is. They always put some sort of essence in that they have to abide by and energize. I don't have to believe that, but what do you think?
Abide by and energize what?
Where the spirit that you have to abide by. And also feed energy to
them. Oh, but that's because churches and humans made that up, and they want you church, so they want to control you and so forth. They want, you know, you have to listen to me. I know what God's saying. I have no idea what God's saying. When people say to me, I'll tell you what God's thinking, I run the other way. They have no idea what God's thinking.
Do you think God is energy force, not necessarily a reason of energy or intelligence, but force somehow affects?
Yes. It's much bigger and much different than we at the present moment with our small finite mind can understand.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
So how do we, I mean, we're living in an ego-based world.
Yes.
Jobs depend on a particular brand of ego in order to get further. How do we negotiate that dance between releasing our ego and staying within, working within this ego base?
Well, here again, you have to be in this world, but not of this world. And when you get into those situations, you're buying into that thought atmosphere. You can change any thought atmosphere. I don't care where you work, what you're doing. You're the one that can change that thought atmosphere. And how do you change that? By starting to change your own thinking about the situation that you're in. We take for granted here, in this, the Los Angeles, they call it the industry, meaning the movie industry. Mm-hmm. And what do they say about if you're in the industry, you must work 18 hours a day, you must keep doing this, you must get... Who made that up? Why is that necessary? It's not necessary.
Very
smart. Wait. Pardon? People are making tons of money, but they're also not very happy.
No, I'm saying they're the ones who constructed.
Yes. Somebody else constructed it. Get out of that thing. Look at it and see. And but you can do that with your own mind. You can still work with people. I work with people all the time. You have to know. Just because the person doesn't know that they're God, you say, that's what you... But you can't say, well, they're no good, those people, they don't... You know, everyone is God. We're just coming to... We're awakening to that idea, to that fact, you see, to that truth. We're awakening to that. And that's what this teaching is about. That's what metaphysics is about. That's self-realization. That means, ah, my goodness, I finally believe that I am God. Oh, wait.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Because of race mind, most people laugh at the concept that they are God.
Yes.
They just absolutely refuse to believe that they are God. They can't even conceive.
Because it's been going on for thousands and thousands of years. So we have to change that. And we change it one thought at a time. And if you can change it and I can change it. There's two people, you see. And it'll just keep the... How did it get the way it was? By somebody believing and telling all those. When people could not read and write, they took advantage of them, something fierce. And they came up with all these stories and all these myths and so forth to keep people in line. Everyone is so afraid that somebody will drop out of line. Everyone is afraid that rebellion will happen, that anarchy will happen, that all... And it will not happen, people.
So basically, they use the same techniques as sometimes parents use on the children.
Yes, of course. And that's why you're a puppet of your conditioning.
Well, it seems to me that there's a certain amount of anxiety that's just built into existence because I am an eternal being trapped in this finite body. I still haven't gotten used to being an eternal being trapped in a finite body. I mean, I think that alone creates a certain amount of anxiety.
Why, are you angry about that? That's the...
Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, give up the anger. There's no anger in the mind of God. Give up the anger and realize that I'm having this wonderful experience. This journey through life is wonderful. The body is just the horse that you're riding through life. It's just the horse that you're riding through life. That horse one day will get tired and fall over. You will keep on riding.
Yes.
Why do you think people believe more in a physical being than an energy being?
Because they are conditioned to believe that, and it has been told for generation after generations for thousands of years. So people are afraid to go against that. And brand name churches are never going to admit to that. They want to keep you in that church, giving your money, building the next building. Get me a stained glass window, please.
There are a lot of, there's like Vedic meditations and Buddhic meditations,
yes,
and all kinds of meditations,
yes,
and messages,
yes,
and what have you.
Right.
How do you know when one... Can they all lead you to an enlightenment?
But they can lead you to enlightenment. Now, I'm going to tell you two different things. First of all, they say, if you're meditating and you meet the Buddha along the path, you must kill him. What does that mean? That means you're not seeing the Buddha. That's your mind throwing something up. You've got to get rid of the damn thing. All right, the next thing, everyone is concerned about meditating, and they want to read this book and that book and learn how to meditate. The best type of meditation is the one you make up yourself. You don't have to know anything. You make up your own meditation. Do you like that?
Yeah.
I'm winning them over.
You always do.
Next, please. Sue, you haven't been here, so you can't ask the question, can you? No, how about you, young lady?
I haven't been here either.
See that? Yes.
I think part of the problem with religion is that the ego can't stand a mystery, and the mystery is everywhere.
Oh, yes.
So it turns into this explanation. When the human being experiences the mystery, it has to come up with some kind of explanation for it.
Yes.
And that explanation becomes religion.
Yeah.
And then it establishes a pecking order. And you say, well, I know more about what God wants us to do than you do.
But that's only in the Western world, and that's only with the Western mind. A Western mind has to know the answer. An Eastern mind can live in the mystery. They do not have to know the answer. They can live without knowing that, and that's what we must learn to do. Now, there was something else I was going to add to that. This, all the religions and the things that you're talking about are man-made. Some big ego made these up, and now they tell you that it's real, and it is not real. They have no idea what it is. But they have so much invested in it now. Do you think the Catholic Church, with that great big cathedral in Rome, St. Peter's Cathedral, is going to give up and say, oh, we made a mistake here, we have to get rid of all this? No, they have too much invested in it now. They have their own bank, by the way. They do. They have the Vatican Bank.
At least a new prime minister of the Catholic religion seems to be a little more interested in people than money and power.
Because he's a Jesuit.
Yeah.
And a Jesuit is the teacher. And he's one of the first, I think he's the first Jesuit pope that we've ever had. So he is reaching out and he's doing wonderful, marvelous things. Mm-hmm. And they will. And in the Catholic Church, I want to tell you, there are a lot of metaphysicians. Mm-hmm. But they are closeted. Mm-hmm. They are in the closet. They cannot get out of the closet because they have sunk themselves into a box because of all the doctrines and all the things. So they can't go past the doctrines because the church says, oh no, the church says you can't do that. So the church must be right. Remember, they still think that the Pope is infallible.
But Harrison is making up money to keep their egos and their power and their clothing.
Well, yes.
And what they say. The new folks seem to be a little different.
He is a little different, and it'll change, but not very quickly. The new pope also said that now he absolutely believes that homosexuals can get into heaven. Of course,
can or cannot?
Can. They can't be in the church, but they can go to heaven. Well, they can get into heaven, but they can't get into the church, remember. Yeah. No, they can't get into the church at the present moment. At the present moment, they can't do that. So anyway, it's all man-made, and you have to look through that and pass that and so forth. So when you're talking about all the anxiety and all the stuff that religion has put on people, you have to think through that. Does this make sense? Remember, no one who is a thinking person can swallow all that twaddle that comes out of the church. You cannot swallow it. It makes no sense. You have to give up your mind to be able to believe that stuff. You see? And where did that all come from? That came from pagan religions, for goodness sakes. And they just adopted that. And they said, well, we have to do that, you know. A miracle birth. There is no religion. No, Mohammedanism. But they still want to make him a mystical person. They want to make a birth something different. The same way when Thor, I think it was, came down, you know, and had sex with a swan. and then a child was born from that. That's what they still want you to believe, that this thing, they want you to believe that Jesus, they want you to believe that Mary, you know, was Immaculate Conception. And she wasn't the Immaculate Conception anyway. That was her mother, Anne.
Now,
who, Mary?
Yeah.
She was born, her mother's name was Anne. And because they had to make, first they had Mary and she was a virgin. Well, now how can you have a virgin if you don't, if you came from a bad mother or something, then you couldn't do that. So they had to go back and rewrite that and make Anne the mother, the Immaculate Conception. She conceived Mary immaculately. So now Mary's the virgin. Now that leaves her open, Mary open, to have the Christ child, you see. Yeah. And you can believe that. There's nothing wrong with that. I love all those stories. I just don't live by those stories. They're a wonderful, wonderful piece of myth and so forth. Use them, please. Goodness sakes. But you don't have to believe that. What you have to believe is in yourself. You have to believe that you have the power to overcome anything. To overcome anything.
In old paganism, a virgin was somebody who was not married. They weren't immaculate. They were not married.
Right.
So it didn't mean you were.
Yes, but because they had to make Mary special, they had to go back to her mother to be able to do that.
Right.
Most people don't know this. Has any? Did anyone here know that Mary's mother was named Anne? No, see, most people don't know that.
But being a virgin does not mean you don't have sex. It means that you don't, you're not married.
Oh,
but
you can have sex?
But you can have sex.
Oh, thank God.
Back up. I don't know what you said. You said a virgin.
In the old paganism, a virgin was somebody who was unmarried.
Right.
It didn't mean that you didn't have sex.
Right. I was thinking of my own life, and thank goodness I don't have to be a virgin, and I can have sex and so forth, and I don't have to marry and all that kind of stuff, you see. That's what I was thinking of.
Fair enough.
Okay, we're talking about miracles. What is a miracle and how can we have a miracle?
Miracles are happening all the time. You're sitting there. You are a miracle right now. I keep telling you that. You have to realize that you are a miracle. There are things going on inside of you right now, at least 10,000 different processes going on inside of you at this very moment that you know nothing about, and that's a miracle. You're digesting food at the present moment. You see, that's a miracle because no one knows how food is digested. We know that we take food in, and we know that we're an open system and we let food out. But we do not know what that. When we eat a carrot, it becomes a fingernail. We have no idea how that's done. That is an absolute miracle, or transmutation, if you wish. Pardon? A transmutation. A carrot becomes a fingernail.
A seed becomes a baby.
Yeah. That's transmutation.
A miracle in God. I mean, when you want something to come into your life, a lot of people say, I need a miracle.
Yes.
How would you have a miracle?
How would I have a miracle?
Well,
I have miracles all the time.
So are there certain degrees of miracles? Or?
Well, you know, everyone wants to see that's the human mind again. In the mind of God, there's no such thing as big and small. And that's where we get into trouble. That's where you get into trouble when you're thinking about prosperity and abundance and you think, oh, well, I can do $10. That's easy for me. But I can't do $10 million because that's not easy. God doesn't know the difference between a $10 bill and a $10 million. You do. Your mind does, and it evaluates that.
Well, you're saying that you wouldn't even really realize what money is because there's no value.
No.
Or
it.
I almost did that.
heard that aphorism the other day, my attitude gets in the way of my intention.
Yes.
And I was trying to break that down to work for me better. And is it possible that my intention gets in the way of my attitude?
It can. What are the two main things that you want to do in life? If you want to do something in life, you must have intention and you must have focus. And if you want a miracle, you must have an intention for that miracle to happen and you must focus on that. And we don't do that.
By miracle, you mean you create more energy so that light comes through?
A miracle is something that, that supersedes natural laws, you see. And God can supersede natural laws. And we know that. And we're learning more and more about that. Scientists are discovering that all the time.
Well, to me, it's more a question of experiencing the miracle rather than making the miracle. It's like you said,
yes.
Everything's a miracle already.
Absolutely.
It's a question of tapping into that.
All right. So here again, is it not taking the mind away, the screen away, so that you can see what's going on?
It's like the Chinese say, don't push the river. You know,
yes.
The river's going to move.
And the other one that I love about the river is you can't stand in the same river twice.
When you said to create a miracle, you need intent and focus. What do you mean by intent?
Well, and I intend to do this. Mm-hmm. That is an energy force right there in your mind. When you say, I intend to make this happen, I intend for this to happen. But then you must keep focused on that. And most people don't keep focused. And the next moment, your attention goes someplace else because the world wants to take your attention all the time. It is very greedy. It wants that all the time. It wants you to think, oh, the world is where the attention is, and it's not. Does that help you? How do you focus? You must make up your mind to focus. I'm going to focus. Yeah. It's easy. Those things are easy.
You know, they were telling me in Buddhism that the difference between my prayer working and not working was the fact that I believed. Is that...
That you believed?
Same thing? Yeah. I mean, is it the same thing as
this? That you believe? Yes. It always is this. And here's the little thing that we know about miracles. All miracles are instantaneous at the moment of belief. We're always trying to believe, and our belief falters all the time. You see, as soon as you believe something, it happens. But here again, that's when you use your intention and your focus, because you have this intention to do something, and you have this focus, and then somebody comes to you and says, oh, you'll never be able to do that. People have been trying to do that for 100 years, and that can't work, and you know perfectly well, and I know this, and I know that, and da-da-da. There your focus goes.
Yeah.
You start to believe them. Don't believe people. Believe me.
You think that happens to the people not to believe, they don't have to do anything?
Say that again.
Easier for people not to believe, so they don't have to.
Oh, absolutely. People are lazy. And they're puppets of their conditioning, and most people are in hypnotic sleep. You see, most of us are asleep. And when you're asleep, you can't be aware, and the whole idea is to become aware. Aware of what? Become aware that I am God. Become
aware. Your ego is louder than your belief.
Yes, of course your ego is very loud, but you have to be able to separate that.
The word Buddha simply means awaken.
Yes, it does. Wake up. Wake up.
Part of the process of becoming a practitioner is to perform a miracle.
Yes.
Is that true?
That
and
is
that
true.
Comes at the end of the process?
Yes. Well, they don't usually, I don't think they call it a miracle. They call it a demonstration or a demonstration. And you have to manifest something. You have to be able to manifest that. And to become a practitioner, you had to do three.
Mind over matter. That's
But there's no such thing as mind over matter. It's always mind over mind, because there's only mind, and it's mind acting as matter. And we get that confused, and when we get that confused, we do a separation, you see, and we say there's mind and matter. And I'm telling you that everything is mind. Matter is mind. It's just solid.
Energy
is matter too. Everything is matter, you see. Or everything is mind. See.
Yeah, I'm not sure what we're doing.
So that's
what happened
to me.
Well, then, pardon?
Something really weird happened to me when I was talking. I was meditating on the channeling, because I channel. And I saw myself mailing or leaving a letter for somebody. And I didn't do it, but I saw myself doing it, and that person actually got it.
Yeah.
And I didn't believe it, but, I mean, is that possible?
Absolutely it's possible. You must realize that all things are possible with God.
In the book Autobiography of the Yogis, Ramanski Yogananda manifested a ring for someone out of the...
Well, they do that. People, there are many people in India that are able to manifest things in the palm of their hand.
It was their ring, not just a ring, but their ring.
Everything is made from the same stuff. It's just reorganized. You see. It all comes from the one source. But it just, you know, rearrange. And you, well, that's all we're ever doing, is rearranging the molecules and the atoms and all the other little things. Now we're rearranging quirks and all that kind of stuff.
Well, so if you are open to believing that,
yes.
Can it happen?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You always have to be open to belief.
Sort of technical question. Since we have a cell phone, particularly,
yes.
Yes. Do you think that has reduced the human's ability to
what? No, I don't think it has done that. I think sometimes it's a hindrance. Well, I love all this new... I don't own any of this stuff, by the way. But I'm delighted with it, because eventually we will be able to do things telepathically. And at the present moment, we don't believe that. So we come up with cell phones, we come up with other things to be able to communicate with people. Now, if you notice, when the first cell phone came out, it was about this big and thick and long. I mean, it was gigantic. Do you notice that things are getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller? And do you realize that we're... Yes, look at this little thing. It's recording. It's so small. It's hard to believe. But it is. So eventually, this is a crutch we're using. When we get ourselves healed, we'll be able to get rid of this crutch, and we will be able to communicate with everybody telepathically. We will be able to travel and all that without planes. Right now we're using planes, which I think is a wonderful thing that we're doing that. But things keep advancing, and they will continue to advance. I'm waiting for the time when there are no more wires.
Wires?
You know, I can't stand wires.
Do you know where the telephones originated from?
Well,
they wouldn't even have standard phones. So probably you've been a cell phone, and that was all right.
Right. Yeah.
I was listening to a program the other night. They were interviewing the scientist, and he was talking about the possibility that humans will someday evolve into a higher being. And he was conjecturing that until we did, we probably wouldn't be able to truly experience enlightenment.
Right. Well, I think we can experience enlightenment, and I'll tell you what is happening on this plane of action at the present moment. We are rapidly advancing, faster and faster than we ever have before. And we will reach that point. So enlightenment will come, I hope, in my lifetime. If not, I may choose to come back. But I think I have a wonderful life ahead of me, you see. I'm looking forward to where I'm going. Pardon? Well, I'm going to travel throughout the entire cosmos.
But now you mean the universe?
Yes.
And do you think you could travel
travel faster than the speed of light.
Oh, absolutely. Why? I am light. I just can't figure out how to do it right. I'm working on it. I just can't do it.
Do you know anything about the angel movement?
I hear bits and pieces of it. I don't know if you did, but I hear bits and pieces of that. And do we absolutely have angels and so forth? Why not?
Oh, yeah. I believe that. Yeah. I don't know much about the movement.
Right. Do you know the movement?
No movement, but I know we have angels because my son fell down the stairs head first, and he was going straight down, and something pushed him on the side. Suddenly, he was on the next step on the side, and he wasn't faced that direction or anything.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
See, there's your miracle.
Control energy pushing away the
But this angel, yes, and energy is all around us. It's around us, it's in this room, it's everywhere. You're safe.
I've often thought that it's kind of selfish of the human race to think that there's every gradation of life form from the amoebas, fish and mammals and birds, on up to us, and then nothing above us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it seems to me that it would be entirely likely that there's... But there are many other gradations of
that's one of the myths that you have fallen for, because the church taught that, that we are the supreme beings, that there is nothing holier than man itself, you know. So that's why, you know, we can kick an animal and do that kind of stuff. You can't do that kind of stuff, you see. Everything is connected here somehow. And there has to be more intelligence and wisdom than we are able to do at the present moment. There has to be. Yeah. Men thought that was very nice. I'm supreme. I'm the big one. Yes. No, I hate women. Question anyone, please? I have time for one more. Of course I have time. We could stay here all day. Or night, day, whatever. No?
I had one.
Yes.
When are we all going to ascend? And we're going to ascend together, right?
It's not an individual project. It's an individual project.
Oh, it is.
You know. It's like your life is a do-it-yourself project. You have to do all this stuff yourself. Don't think. You see, people join churches and so forth because they think they can find salvation through affiliation. You cannot find salvation through affiliation. First of all, you have to realize that you're already saved. There's no such thing as a lost soul. You know, I used to go to a church where they talked about lost souls and so forth. I didn't stay there very long, long enough to think they were idiots. You have a question.
You're talking about this time of year.
Yes.
And I'm definitely a product of someone that feels all the different times of the year.
Good.
Like, summertime, I blossom. You know, the days are longer.
Right.
It's light.
Right.
It's hot. It's warm. Now it's November, going into December. Yep. It starts getting darker.
Yes.
Earlier and colder and noisier and things like that. And, you said to... So my usual that happens every year, and I try hard when it gets near Christmas to be okay, and then, you know, I still, by the time Christmas comes, it's like, it's just, you know, it just gets me.
Yes.
So, you know, you said that this time of year, the angels come down and... Kind of work on it.
I said they bend near the earth. I did not say they come down.
Oh, okay.
There's a complete difference there. You have to, they are always around us. Mm-hmm. And they, at this time of year, they bend down. Now, bend down. They're bending down towards the earth. They're much closer to the earth at this time than other times of the year. But I, two things I want to tell you. First of all, this is very wonderful. And you have feelings. And feelings are the life of the organism. But what you are doing, you're repeating. And you just keep repeating it. They have habits. So why don't you tell yourself that you're no longer going to allow your mind to do that to you? That this year, your Christmas is going to be completely different. And you're going to make an effort to make it different. Otherwise, you'll fall right back into that same groove that's in your mind that has you have made that groove each year deeper and deeper to now you believe that. Does that make sense to you? Mm-hmm. So you just have to, I just hit my head and get myself out of that groove. Mm-hmm. You know, do you remember an old record player with the needle? If it jerked, it would go on to the over to the next. Think of that in your mind. You've left it, make that groove. Now you hit it. Oh, now it's going over to the next one.
When we think of angels, I mean, it depends on what your situation is. But generally, they're considered to be a not just an energy force. They actually have, you know, skin also. They obviously an energy source, an intelligent energy source, wants to do something with this planet because we've scooped up so much. But you know, how about the physical angel? It comes down, you know.
Can take on a physical body.
Could take on a physical body. You think they would go to a particular church or just exist here?
I don't think they would even put themselves into a church.
Right. Okay.
I think that you would find them in a meadow. I think you would find them in a forest. I think you would find them in a garden. I think if they saw these big churches and so forth, they'd say, what the hell is this? You know, this is not God. This is not that. You can't close God into a cathedral, into a church, into this, that, and the other thing. You know?
You consider God to be more of a physical energy force than a, well, like this building.
I don't consider God to be physical. I don't consider. I consider God. Let's look at God as a thought form.
Okay.
You see? The same way you're a thought form and I'm a thought form. God is a thought form. God's just a bigger thought form than I am, but I am part of that thought form. And my mission in life is to learn to think God thoughts after it.
Okay, so your religion is to look into what's going on and then see what you can bring out for yourself and other people in form of energy by just memorizing the energy force.
Yeah.
And extending it out.
We're all energy, and energy is going out all the time. You can move things, you can do things. It's energy, people. And if you want to be able
to. The other day I saw the movie Matrix, which I haven't seen in a long time, and it really spoke to me. And you've seen it, haven't you?
I haven't, and it has never spoke to me. No, I've watched it several times, and people go on and they tell me all the things that this is going on. I see nothing in it whatsoever. And I wanted to see something in it, but I couldn't.
I see the Matrix, which is the consciousness of mankind in it.
Yes.
And then I see him separating from that and becoming, and enabling himself to manipulate outside of the Matrix. And I equated that to. Like the ego and getting, moving it over and then becoming who I really am. And that's how I saw it.
Right. Terrific. One more question, then I have to go.
I'm a miracle. I'm
here. You are a miracle, dear. Yes, you are. You've gone through a lot and you're still here. And that's wonderful. Yes. You're the only one left. You are a miracle.
A wonderful miracle.
Yes, you are. All right. Oh, I consider everything a miracle.
Okay, so both physical and non-physical things are the universe, right?
Everything, yes. Physical and non-physical. I absolutely believe, as I said earlier, all things seen come from things that are not seen. And there's more non-seen things than there are seen things. And most people can only see the things that are there in front of them. I'm looking at what's around me in a completely different way.
That's from limitation on the sapiens. They can't. Well, we can see things.
Yes.
We can hear things. We can experience pain and good, and even emotionally.
Yes. But because you're only using your five senses, I'm trying to use more. I have more senses than five.
Mm-hmm. You're trying to connect with the energy in a different way.
Yes. Because you can't connect with it with your five senses. First of all, people, your five senses always lie to you. They always lie to you. They don't tell you the truth. I'm after the truth. And I'm telling you, this season, make that one of your points. I will find the truth of myself. I will find my authentic self this season. I am not going to wait another year for another Christmas to come by. I'm going to do it now.
You said it yourself, which I agree with 100%. Don't most people try and find the truth about somebody else rather than themselves? They don't want to know.
Well, they always want to go outside of themselves. That's the problem. When no one looks inside, people look outside all the time. You must look inside. You can't find anything on the outside of life. It's all on the inside. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.